have a question this morning. What if you could do something and that something would have huge dividends? A little something that would make all the difference in the world. So let me give you for instance. And not something for yourself, something for somebody else. So let me give you for instance. You're at Walmart and somebody is, you ever been to the place where it seems like you and somebody else kind of verge on the same parking spot, like almost simultaneously at the same time? And you don't take that spot, you let them take it. Hello? Now, is that, that's not a little thing, that's a huge thing. No, that's a little thing. But you do that. Actually, sometimes at Walmart it might be a big thing. But anyway, no, it's a little thing. And so you do that, it's a little act of kindness, watch this. But that little random act of, seemingly random act of kindness has this huge positive consequence. Here's what it is. That person gets out of the car and they're walking in and they're going to give $1 million to the billionth customer. And guess who that customer is? That customer is that person that you let hit that spot. Do you understand the example? It's a little thing, but for somebody else. But in the course of time, it has this huge consequence. Hello? You're at Dodger Stadium. You're sitting up in like the nosebleed seats. And they say, you know what? Come on down. It's come on down time. And come on down means they pick somebody in those nosebleed seats and they got a box seats front row for them. So out of all the people and they, 286, 48, section 9, and it's yours. And you're like, oh, it's no big deal. But this person next to you, they got like a Dodger cap on. They painted their face blue, half white. You know what I mean? They're like, they're just totally into it. And all you do, because you know what? You're just there because somebody invited, had an extra ticket. You haven't even seen the Dodgers at all. You don't even like the Dodgers. And you think, I don't really care about sitting out front. But even though you might kind of want to, you just look at this person and say, no, here's my ticket. You go down front. Just a little thing. They go down front. And when they go down front, they are sitting next to Magic Johnson. And you didn't know any of this, but their child has a sickness that there's some very, very, very expensive medicine that child needs and the family can't afford it and it's not part of, their medical coverage and they have no idea what they're going to do. And they meet Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson, in the course of the game, finds this out. And Magic Johnson says, don't worry about it. What's your address? What's your phone number? I'm going to take care of you. Do you understand the example I'm giving? It's a very, very, very minor thing, but it has a huge consequence in the positive. The ramifications are huge. Can I tell you what? That's what we're going to talk about today. Huge ramifications. Yeah. I already say huge ramifications. Okay. I think I just changed the title of my sermon. Okay. But you could also sermon this title, how we walk in love at Hope. How do we walk in love at Hope? Because I have got some principles here that I want to teach you. But before I teach you those principles, I want to go to some scripture and set just a scriptural foundation of love. Can I do that for a minute? Number one scripture I want to look at, just look up here on the screens with us, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse 36. Teacher, and you're familiar with this. Tamara talked about this in prayer today. It's such a foundational text to Christianity. And this is Jesus. Jesus, they ask him, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? They ask him, go back. They ask him, what is the great commandment? They're not asking for a bunch of commandments. They want to know, what's the great one? That's really, it's singular. They're asking, which is the great commandment? There's a lot of commandments, but Jesus, tell us which is the greatest. What is it? Which one is it? But look how he answers. And he tells him the answer. And Jesus said to him, here's the number one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's number one. Everybody say that's number one. Everybody say Jesus got to be my number one. But here's what's interesting. He doesn't stop. Because the number one is tied with the number two. Listen. Don't just love my wife. Love my kids. Does that make sense? Don't just love me. Love my wife. Don't just love my wife. Love my kids. Because I don't want you just to love me. I do want you to love me. But I want you to love my wife too. Pastor, we love you. We love you. Your wife's okay. Your kids. I'm like, hey, dude. Knock it off, man. Don't just love me. Love my wife and my kids. Amen? And even love my dogs. You know what? Really, as disobedient as they are, just love them anyway. Amen? Amen? Okay. But notice what Jesus says. And Jesus said to me, you shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, and with all your heart, soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. It is the first. But look what he says. It's like, but guys, whoa! What's that word? You see that? Ever say, and? What's and? And means he's not done. Guys, don't walk away just loving God, because if you do, you'll miss the heart of God. You'll miss the heart of God. And the second is like it. Guys, you know, walk away. You know what I mean? You ever, you know, sometimes, remember this? Remember this, kids? Remember this? Your mom's like, you know, like, do this and do that and do that. I'm like, okay, great. And I want to run. So like, hey, wait a minute. Come here. And. Don't just empty the trash. Empty the trash. And make sure you put the liner in after you're done. How many know that and was important? And. Yes. Do I have an amen back there? Yeah. Can I get a witness? Amen. And second is like it. This is really important. Love your neighbor. Now this is like, whoa, as yourself. Amen. That takes some work sometimes. Amen. I go over to Tommy's, man. I want to make sure. Do not put those white onions. Ugh. Don't put those white onions. And listen, and when Tommy's does it, oh, man, I told you this story one time. One time, I didn't check it. Voila. And I was so hungry. You know, you ever be hungry for Tommy's burger? Tommy's burger is the best. And I'm all excited, you know, hadn't eaten all day, all excited, coming home, gonna get a Tommy's burger before, you know what, not even gonna wait till I get home, which is crazy because it's gonna go all over me. I don't care, I'm gonna eat it. And I go take a first bite, and I was like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, no, you ain't picking those onions out. I mean, no, you ain't picking, okay. So anyway, all I'm saying is, it's one thing for me to be conscious, and I tell them three times now. You know what? Did you remember? But here's the deal. But do I tell them? Can I have some chilies with that? Pastor, you don't like chilies. I know. But my wife likes chilies. Do you understand? See, I'm going to make sure it doesn't have any onions. But am I going to make sure it has chilies? Can I have chilies with that? And how many know over Tommy's they give you three chilies? It's not enough. You know what I mean? So then before I leave, I say, oh, can I have some more chilies? Why am I doing that? See, that's where love gets not, that's where love your neighbor, care about just like you want it, the way you want it ordered. Make sure she's getting it the way she wants it ordered. Now, I know I'm getting practical, but shouldn't love be practical? Love is practical. Okay. So we need to, this is Jesus' command. We need to love our neighbor as ourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody say love does something. Everybody say love does something. Okay. Look what it does. Love, this is, you know, oh, I love with you. I love you. I love you. I love. How come you love me? Because you make me feel. Can I start to sing a 70s song? Are you ready for this? You ready for that? I don't even know what it is yet, but I know it's going to come to me, okay? You feel in love. Oh, I feel in love. You know what I mean? And so, you know, but wait a minute. But that's not what the Bible says love is. Now, you can include feelings in it, but love is something that you do. This is God's definition of love. How many know he knows love like nobody else knows love? Love, it does something. It suffers long. You know what's suffering long? Suffering's long is when, watch, there's somebody, you know what, when there's somebody older in the grocery line and she's got a 35-cent coupon and she's looking for the coupon and you're behind her. Here's what love suffers. Here's what love does. Here's what doesn't roll her eyes and say, on, but you know, we're like she can, like you act like she can't hear you. You know what I mean? But of course she can hear you. And your body language is shouting at her. You know what? You're annoying, stupid 35 cents. You know what I mean? Don't, you know what? Won't you look at it before? You know what? Figure all this out. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. You know, and it's all over you. Love doesn't do that. I said, Pastor, it sounds like you know what you're talking about. I can't tell you how many times in the grocery line these older ladies would come up and 35-cent coupon, and they knew they had it in their purse, and they felt the pressure of all these younger people behind them, and they'd get all flustered. And I'd do this all the time, all the time. I'd say, I just even kind of my body language, I'd say, hey, listen, it's right there. Just take your time. You'll find it. I cannot tell you how many times as soon as I said that, that go, oh, it's right here. See, they're just flustered. And love isn't annoyed by people that are, you know what, you know, we do this all, you know, how come we think when we get in our car, we can act like we don't love Jesus? How come, I don't know, but love suffers long. You see, it does something. It's kind. Here's the thought. Let's be kind. Amen. I'm sorry. Can we be kind? Okay. Love is kind. It does not envy. You know what I mean? Oh, man, you know, they have this, they have it. No. Thank God they get that stuff. Thank God somebody's blessed. You know what? That's a great thing. Love does not parade itself. You know what I mean? Oh, let me, you know, I can, you know what? The Bible says, why do you act like you didn't get it from God? You have this talent. You're like, oh, I'm a great singer. You know what I mean? Well, who made you a great singer? What did you do something when you were little, special, that made your vocal cords? No, God did that. What? Who made you're so smart? You know, I mean, people have all these. Some people are like off the charts smart. You know what I mean? And they're all like, "Ooh, I'm so smart." Hey, don't act like you made yourself smart. God made you smart. That's why you're smart. Humble out. Say, man. You know, does that make sense? See, love does something. It doesn't. It's not puffed up. You know what? It does. And here's what I want you to catch: in every single one, it does something. Even when it says it doesn't act like that, there's a reciprocal of what it does do. You know what? It does not behave. See that the it does not behave rudely. Well, what's the reciprocal? So what is it doing? It's acting graciously. Does that make sense? Does not seek its own. You know what? You don't have to be first all the time. It doesn't seek its own. What's the positive? What's it doing? He's saying, no, you first. It does something. Okay? It thinks no evil. You know what? We don't listen. We don't judge people's motives. When? Y'all were here when I taught this, right? We don't judge people's motives when? Never. Let me tell you what. I know why they did that. Love you. No, you don't. No, I know because. Love you. No, you don't. And you could have 38 reasons to think that's why they did it, and you could still be wrong. Yeah, but what if I'm right? What if you're right? Love doesn't think evil. It's just how it does. I can't tell you. Listen, that sermon, that revelation, I'm walking in and my life is so much better. I'll start to think, oh, I know what, and I'll just, Tamara, how many times in the last month have you heard me halfway through something just stop? Why? Because I'm learning this stuff too. But love thinks no evil. Amen. Next verse. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoicing in the truth. I don't have time to go over all of it. Here's the only point. The point is, I want you to see, love does something. Everybody say, love does something. Okay. Final verse, and then we'll talk about some practical things that we're going to do, how we're going to walk in love. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, you've heard this before. Let nothing be done from selfish ambition or conceit, but with lowliness. Lowliness. Everybody say lowliness. I mean, no, that's not a word. I don't even know what that word means. You know what I mean? It's an English word, but how many know there's English words that we don't use anymore? And so it's like not even, you know, how many ever you've been like, oh man, I'm gonna act lowly today. You know what I mean? Well, lowly today means you're gonna act humble. It's the opposite of pride. It's the opposite of puffed up. Lowly. Does that make sense? But in lowliness of mind, let each. Now, can I tell you what each is, means? Each, each means you. I would say each means me. Each, what each doesn't mean is you're not excluded from this. Each means God is talking to you today. That's what each means. Let each, each esteem others. And here's kind of the radical point. How many know God is radical? And he thinks radical because he doesn't think the way most people think. Here's the radical thing. Watch. Let each esteem others better. Everybody say better. Than himself. We're going to jump off from there. How can we walk in love? Now, as a body at Hope, how do we practically do it? We already understand that God says, I not only want you to love me, I want you to love others as yourself. We saw that love is something that does stuff. So I can't just get up there, guys, we just gotta love people more. Okay, because love does something. I'm gonna give you some practical stuff today. And then finally, we see that not only do I want you to, the commandment is that you put somebody else better, esteem them better than yourself. Yeah, that's intense, isn't it? Okay. Now, let's look at some realities of how people think. What do they think about Christians? Can I tell you the end game here? Can I tell you where I'm going before I get there? Here's where I'm going. Here's what I want to teach you today. How we're going to love people that go through those doors. Everybody look back at those doors. How are we going to love people that go through those doors? How are we going to love people that drive on our property? How are we going to show that? Now, before we go there, let's get a perception of, we know how we think about Christian people, right? I mean, if you ask us, I'd have a lot of, with all our imperfections, I'd have a lot of good things to say about Christian people or church people. But it's not about our perception. It's about their perception. And I want to show you a couple things, a couple surveys that's going to help. Tamara, here's where I need your phone. And Joel, give me first the picture of the two banners. Oh, Okay. Let's see if I can find this. I got that one. Give me a second. Tamara, where's Okay, here it is. Okay. So let me read this to you real quick. Guys, stay with me, okay? What do people think of church? Of the first project as a team was based around a question. How do people outside church walls view the church? That's a good question, is it not? How do they view us? What do they think of us in here? And how does that differ from who are the regular churchgoers? In other words, the question that these surveyors wanted to figure out is, how do we perceive ourselves, and what is the difference between how they perceive ourselves? Do you understand? How do they perceive us? How do we perceive us? How do they perceive us? And let's put it next to each other and see what the differences are. That would be a good thing for us to know, right? A total of, they pulled 1,300 people from across diocese, state, and nation. Less than 23 of those polled classified themselves as not regularly attended church. So most of these that are polled were unchurched. Less than 23% of those polled classified themselves, I already said that. While we would have liked to see a total much closer to 50, most unchurched people seemed to respond along similar lines. So in describing the church, there was these correlations of things that were together. Is this making sense? To the display, this is to display our results, we generated two wordies. These are called wordies. I didn't know that. Shayla, did you know that was called wordies? Okay. Try to guess which one is from the people of the unchurched and which one is churched. Okay. So we have these wordies, and these are what people said about the church. One group is from the church. The other group is from people who are outside the church. Now, can you guess? What do you think is what? The bottom one, what do you think the bottom one is? You think it's, most people said church, okay. So the top is what? What do you think? Unchurched. Well, okay, here, you're right. That's exactly what it is. But here's what freaked me out. And here's what they did. You see the size of the words? The size of the words had to do with how many said the same thing. So many people in the church said community was what they associated church with. A lot. See how big that is? See how big worship is? Many people in the church relate the church to worship. Do you see that? But here's what freaked me out. And I thought, what a great place to teach what I want to teach you. Look at the word love. Can you find the word love in the church people? Do you see how big that is? Now, here's what freaked me out. Do you see the word love in the unchurched? Yeah, you can find it. Do you see how small it is? Hello? It's, thank you. Great. I knew I could catch more things if I looked in this long enough. And trust me, this week I'm going to look at this. But I love what Shayla just said. It's almost the same size as the word judgmental. Now, I'm not a negative. How many know I'm not a negative person? So, but I've also learned it's really important to see what's really going on. These people who did this survey, they don't have an axe to grind. They're not trying to force the square peg in the round hole. They just want to ask, what's the difference in the perception? And here's what came off to me first. We think the church is a very, very loving place as witness to how big love is. They think the church is a, I could say it like this, a very unloving place. Okay, everybody smile at me. Okay, everybody smile at me. Okay, say smiling's my favorite. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Our goal is to make this size. Our goal is to make this size. Okay, now here's how we're going to do it. Are you ready? Are you ready? It took a long time to get there, right? Are you ready? Okay, it's going to be good. Everybody say this is going to be good. Okay. Everybody say we're going to walk in love. We're going to love the people who are coming through those two doors. Okay. Here's how we're going to do it. Are you ready? Did I motivate you? Okay. Now, let me remind you. You can't put yourself first. You got to put others, what? Above you, in front of you. Number one, park far. Let's sing it together. Sing it together with me. Park far. Park far. Park far. Okay. Park far. Okay. Now I'm just asking you. You know what? I think we're going to implement this. Haven't even run it by my top consultant, which is my wife. But I have a lot of great people who are help me with decisions. But you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to take 10 spaces, the 10 closest spaces that we have right here, and I'm going to put guest parking back to the park. Okay? Amen? Amen? Well, yeah. Well, I'm still working through. Yeah, that's good. First time. Okay, that's good. Okay. Details matter. Okay, that's good. Okay, but here's my point. Here's my point. Whatever it says. But here's the point. The people at the front, you know what? Talk to you two about it already. The people at the front, when they come in, they're going to kindly, you know, they're not going to stop George because they know George isn't here for the first time. But they're going to kindly just go to the window. How people roll down their window. Roll down. You can tell I'm old school, huh? Nobody rolls down their window anymore. Now Shayla's like, what are you talking about, roll down the window? Okay, anyway, so here's all I'm saying. They're going to go to them and say, is it your first time here? And when they say, yes, it is, they're going to have these bright orange cards, and they're going to say, put this in your window. We have special parking for you right over here. Okay. Now, let me, that's just my, I just came up with that this morning. But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. If we don't ever come up with it, how many know we need to come up with it anyway? How many know whether I put guest parking, first-time guests, you know what, hey, we love you at Hope, no matter what we write there, how many know, listen to me, how many know that those spots are not the spots that we should take? Listen, if you're at Walmart, I don't care. Pray and believe that God will give you great space. You know what I mean? I don't, go for it. You know what? If you're going to Kaiser, I don't mind. Pray that. Go for it. Amen. But when you come to Hope, and let me just ask you this. Can I push the envelope a little bit? What if, remember where we started? What if a little thing could make a huge difference? Can I tell you what? Let me give you a story. And all this is so important. This is such an important word for us to hear today. Let me tell you a story. We were over in the North Sanctuary. This is probably, oh my goodness, probably 8 years ago. I get a letter from Azusa Pacific. Their acting team department had done a play. It was a comedy. It was, and you know what, theologically, I never know what, it was a comedy, and I thought, oh, that'll be good, but they were talking about death and sickness, and you can get all kinds of crazy theology, and so I wanted to make sure it was good theology, but here's what I thought. They wanted to come to Hope to do the play, and I thought, well, that'd be great. We could do it. It was before Esperanza. We could do it on a Sunday evening. I thought, just what a great time to just fellowship together and enjoy this play. And so, but
Being a good shepherd, I'm going to see it first before I just, you know what, because I don't know. So Tamara and I went, and Rebecca went. So we go to this church. Here's what I want you to know. I've been going to church all my life. I love church. And when Tamara and I got out of the car and we started walking to the church, I felt nervous. I felt anxious. I felt uncomfortable. I felt uneasy. Okay. And I felt all those things because it wasn't my church. It was a church that I'd never been to before. Let me just ask you, be honest. How many can remember your first time at Hope? How many remember how you felt when you first drove in the parking lot? Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, some of those words describe how I felt. Raise your hand real high because I want us to see. See? Now that, keep your hands up. I want you to get a real clear picture of that. Now here's what happened at that church. You can put your hands down. Here's what happened at that church. We came in. We're a little early because I like to be early. And I like to sit in the front row. But I was a guest, so there were people already sitting up there. That was fine. But we came in. When we came in, it was early, so there wasn't a lot of people there. But there were about three groups of threes as we walked in the foyer. None of them stopped talking to give us eye contact and connect. None of them. That's okay. No big deal. Sit on down. We didn't sit in the front row. We sat like in the third row. There was people already in front of us. Nobody turned around to greet us, to welcome us. No one. In the play, they had a break in the middle. Tamara and Rebecca went back and got a lollipop or something. They had like these bomb pops they were selling. And you know what? And it's starting to, like, I'm starting to notice how nobody's saying hi to us at this point. It's starting to get a little weird. And so I said to Tamara, I said, hey, I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm trying to get I want to see how other churches are acting. So I said, did anybody greet you? She looked at me and they said, it was weird. Nobody even said hi to us. We listen to the rest of the play. Nobody says hi to us. We get up and leave. People are talking in their groups. We get to our car. You know what it was like? You ever see that program, Punked? Where they set something up, you know what I mean? And they, you know, dude, we punked. You know, I explained to the people in the parking, the pastor, oh, we punked you. We did that. Nope. I mean, nobody said. It was so weird. Here's all I'm saying. We need to have that as a mindset to where we're going and how we love these people coming in. Okay. Park far. Number two, B, sit close. Sit close. Okay. Now, thank God in this sanctuary, everybody's close. But here's what I'm saying. If they're coming in for the first time, you know where they think the best seats are? The back seats. You know where they think the best parking spots are? The front. We are going to you first. I'm deferring to you. So, and listen, I know that I'm talking to people, and I know some of you are in the backish seats. I know that. Can we do this? Can we let next week? Can we let the new people sit back there? How would we let the new people sit back there? Here's what we'd do. We'd park. Come on, sing it. We'd park. Sing it. We'd park. And we sit close. But Pastor, but this is where I always sit. I know. Amen. Everybody say, I love my pastor. Okay, what if, I'm just asking, what if you could do something small, but it could have a huge ramification? What if you could make those people feel a little more comfortable for their first time? Park far, sit close. Number three, be friendly. Be friendly, okay? Just smile. Just be nice. Just be sweet. Just be friendly, okay?
Next, what? D, what? Be really friendly. What's really friendly? Really friendly means you're not just being casual friendly. You are being proactive to find out what their name is, how long they've been coming to Hope. You know what? Who invited them? Maybe even, what are we eating today, Tamara? Hey, maybe you could say, hey, do you like pozole? Because we got some homemade pozole. I'd love to buy you a bowl. Who's going to say no to that? See, listen, people are looking. We have a great advantage of Hope. You know why we have? Because this is what the studies are proving out. Because people don't have that avenue anymore. It's all rush, 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 hurry, hurry, hurry. And they don't have, nobody does that. We can do it. This is a huge opportunity for us. Our church can be like no other church. We can fill every seat here, every service, including Esperanza. But we have to be really friendly. What's the next one? What? Don't be so friendly. What's it? What is it, Pastor? Be friendly or don't be friendly? First you say be friendly, then you say be really friendly, now you say don't be friendly. What is it? Okay, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I mean by that. Here's what I mean. How great thou art, how great thou art, then sings my soul. We're worshiping. A lot of people, they know that song because they sung that. They haven't been in church in 20 years, but they remember singing that song. And it's like, boom, we're nailing it. They're connecting with God, and you're sitting next to them. But you're also sitting next to your buddy. Don't be friendly. Now is not the time for you to tell your friend next to you on this side that you grew up with from junior high everything you think. Dude, you know what I mean? Your haircut stinks, man. Why'd you cut your hair yesterday? So it looks so stupid. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Ooh, I love pozole. I heard Pastor say we're going to have pozole. All these comments, all this stuff, and Isaac is up here, and he's trying to connect people with God. Can I tell you what? What if you could do something little that would have a huge impact? Would we do it? Could we put somebody in front of what we think? Is that possible? Can I go a little deeper? Okay, so I'm preaching the word. How many know? I'm just asking you. How many know when Satan comes? Yeah, immediately. When is he coming, though? He comes to steal the word. And here's, so when is he coming? Somebody said immediately. When do you think he's coming? Right now, sermon. That's right. Right now, when the preaching starts, that's when he is trying to distract in any way. Who? You know what? I wonder why. You know, they carpet the whole thing. Why do they have that box there? You know, I wonder why they have the box there. You know what I mean? I wonder why. You know what? I wonder where that cord goes to. You know what I mean? I wonder why. You know, all this stupid stuff that means nothing. It doesn't make any. It's just a distraction. It's just Satan. And you've got to listen. Now I'm speaking to everybody. You've got to lock in. Get your laser lock in to what is God going to speak to me today. And when you get deferred to, why? Because Satan's trying to do that. That's all I'm saying. Be friendly, be really friendly. But during the preaching, during the worship, be real cognizant to, you know what? This is a true story. If you're talking to me, you guys in the back, you ask the ushers, you know what I mean? I'll tell them, shh. Hey, blah, 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 shh, shh. George, have I told you to be shh? And George is trying to be great, whatever he said. But here's what I recognize. It's not the time. There's people around you. I'm not trying to pick on George. But I know George would be gracious to. Listen, while I'm saying this, George is one of my bestest friends. But it's not the time. Why? Because I want to be friendly. I want to be really friendly. But I want to not be friendly.
I can talk to George about anything after. Amen? Now, you can come to me and say, hey, Pastor, you know what? The tree is burning outside. You know, you know what I mean? You can tell me that. Amen? But really, anything short of that, I'm going to say, not now. Is this making sense? And it gets kind of funky because these are sometimes your friends sitting there, you know what I mean? I don't want to tell them to be quiet. What if you did something small that could have a huge significance in somebody's life? What if it was right then that I was, and can I tell you what a lot of it is? A lot of it is just anecdotal, funny little narrations that you're going to give. And you know what the Bible says? That the Spirit of God is a spirit of self-control. You don't have to tell it. You don't have to tell your wife, your husband, everything you think, all comments throughout the sermon. You can just, you know what, be quiet, recognizing there's people around you. Oh, this is good, amen? Okay, I'm slapping you around a little today, aren't I? Amen? Say, my pastor loves me. Okay. I'm just asking, what if something little that you could do could make a big difference? Be real friendly to someone who you're real close to. In other words, there'll be a time, and maybe I'll say something, and maybe you have, this is only to real, real, real close friends, but be willing to, as the Holy Spirit leads, be willing, you are your brother's keeper. You know what? There's nothing wrong with, you know what, if you have a real close relationship, you know what, saying, hey, you know what, Pastor always talks about, we don't meet on Sunday, we meet on Sunday and Wednesday. And bro, I never see you on Wednesday. And I know you're not working or nothing. What's up? Okay. Now, I'm not going to say that to somebody who's just been here for, you know, 3 weeks or even 6 weeks probably. But I am going to say that. I don't mean to pick on George, but I am going to say things, and George always comes on Wednesday. But I am going to say things, and you know, listen, and that's a friendly thing to do. Does that make sense? How many have I loved? You know, some of my closest friends have I loved. You know what? See? And it's not, you know what I mean? But love them enough to tell them. And be gracious. And make sure, you know, I've taught you this, make sure you're doing it before you tell them. And make sure where you tell them, it's a gracious way, not, you know what? You suck because you don't. No, no, no. You don't suck. You're awesome. But let me point out this. Okay. Remember, oh, this is good. Remember, one chair per person. Here's what I'm saying. When you come to church, you're not camping. What do you do when you're camping? You get to the campsite, and you know what? You put this here, and you put that there, and you put the tent there, and you know what I mean? Put the chairs there. You know what? Some of y'all come to church, you think you're camping. Amen? You're like, oh, you know what I mean? You put your purse here, and you're... We're not camping, amen? Listen, one person per chair, okay? That means put stuff underneath, put your purse underneath, don't put it next to you. You know what, does that make sense? I see some of you moving stuff right now. Okay, I'm not looking. But here's the thing you got to know. Second service, 2 weeks in a row, it was packed. And I saw the ushers, how many want this place to be packed? Well, let's make room for them, amen? And we're not making them feel comfortable. You know, a couple came in last week, and they came over here, and I was walking back for something, and I caught them, and I was like, you know, matter of fact, I even went to Mark after, you know, I said, hey, they were looking for a seat. And Mark graciously, you know what, said, Pastor, they wanted to seat themselves. Well, he knows if they say that, we don't go, no, you have to. No, okay, that's fine. And so he did exactly what I asked him to do. But they're over here. They can't find a seat. If you're camping, you help them to not be able to find a seat. So if you have something, put it underneath your seat. Does that make sense? Okay. And thank God that they found a seat over here. Amen. But what I'm saying is, you get so used to how, well, you know, Pastor, look, we got plenty of room. Wait. That faith doesn't say we have plenty of room. Faith says, I'm putting my purse underneath my chair. Amen? Or your man bag or whatever, okay? All right. Okay.
I got two more. we'll shut it down. Everybody say, sit and serve. This might challenge some people, some people who aren't sitting and serving. We have two services. So what I want everybody to do, because here's what's happening. If you get to the place where you, how many love this church? Okay. How many have learned something at this church? How many, what you have learned have helped your life radically in the positive? Raise your hand. Okay. So, but here's what's going to happen. You're like a sponge, and here's what's going to happen. You learn. At some point in time, that sponge, you can't put anything more in. The sponge is designed to wring it out that you can get more in. For some of you, and I've never challenged you in this, but we have two services. One of the reasons we have two services is we want you to sit a service and to serve a service. Not just come and oh, I love my church. I learned so much. Because can I tell you what? You were designed not to just learn. The learning is for you to serve. And what happens is, you know what? There was I told this recently. There was a man, and he was at a church service, and the Holy Spirit showed him what was going on. And he said he saw these people, and they had big heads. And they had, their bodies was anorexic. And he was freaking out. Can you imagine? So he's sitting in the front row, and he's watching these people walking around and seeing this. And he said, Lord, he's freaking out. Lord, what are you showing me? This is so weird. He said, I'm showing you the state of the church. There's people, and they've developed, and they learn more and more and more and more. And they've got all these knowledge. But they're anorexic. Because they don't do anything. There's no movement in what they're learning all this, but they're anorexic. They're weak. They're not strong. Their bodies are frail because they're not applying anything that they're learning. Oh, this is good. So, and listen, listen to me. If I'm pushing you out of your comfort zone, that's okay. That's what growth is. And you say, well, what do I do? Sign up. Go to the information. Go to Tamara. Say, Tamara, I've been coming here for 6 months, 6 years, 6 weeks, and I just come to the first service, but I don't do anything. Trust me, we got stuff for you to do. I need some ushers right away. I need more ushers. Okay, I need more of a lot of things. But, and for many of you, and here's what's going to happen. It's going to be the best day of the rest of your, it's going to be one of the best days in your life. Because now, all that learning, now you're going to be able to apply it. And what better place to apply it than in the church? Amen. And finally, scooch. We taught this. Everybody, scooch in. Okay. Now, let me just ask you. There's two places that are the best seats. Okay. Where do you think the unchurched? Can we go back to the wordies? This is what we think. This is how we think we're doing. That's how they think we're doing. We can do a better job. And one of the best ways we can do a better job is simply to, when you come, where do you think the best seats are to most people who would come in, especially unchurched? There's two places. Where do you think they are? The back. And where's the other one? The aisle. The ends. So, if you're sitting in the end, that's okay. You're not bad people. Amen. I love you. But learn to scooch in. Okay. Not to point out, but look at these gracious people right in the middle. Okay. Here's what I'm saying. Look, oh, this is a great example. I know we're, hey, I'll be right back. I got to show them something. Look at this. This is so great. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. This is so good. These people could have sat here or here or here or here or here. But here's what they said, in not their words, but in their actions. Here's what they said. We love these people that are coming in. We're going to give them the best seats. Okay. Thank you. Amen. Yeah. So, listen, I might have, here, I'll close with this. And if I stepped on your toe, If I step, no, listen to me. This is real important. If I stepped on your toe, you know, listen, it's okay. Because that's just your flesh. Right? What if, let me just go back to the original question. What if we could do something small? But that something small could make people feel loved and different. Could one word from God, could you disciplining yourself to not talk during worship, could you discipline yourself during not talking during the preaching, could that one word change their life forever? Well, I tell you what, I know it's done it in you, your life. Let's love people. Let's put other people in front of ourselves. Have you learned something today? Yeah. Tamara, come on up.
I was so engaged, I was unprepared. Sorry about that. Had to grab my stuff. We used to, when I grew up as a kid, just, I don't know, I think I was probably 8 years old, I think, and my parents owned a grocery store. And so we as kids, I have five brothers and sisters, we were always at the grocery store and we were, you know, doing the grocery work that needed to be done. And it's, we would sometimes stand around and talk with each other, and my father would always tell me, "What are you doing?" And it's like, "Oh, we're done. We got everything done." He says, "No. Stuff is never always done. There's always something to do." And so that, I think, is true. Wherever we're at, and as much as we know these principles, I think it's really wise of us to know that we could always be doing better at whatever we're doing. That if we will just step back and just assess, you know what can I do better? You know what, that we look at ourselves and say, you know what? Sometimes when we have habits going on, we don't even realize, you know, that we're doing them. And so hopefully some of these things, you know what, will kind of quicken you to kind of look at, you know what, how well are you being a servant when you come to the house of God? I have the servant definition. Listen to this. A person who performs duties for others. Amen. That is a servant. And then it says, a devoted and helpful follower or supporter. So if we're here to reach people and we want to be able to show the love of God to them and help them in their relationship with the Lord, that they would come to know him better. You know what? Jesus talked all the time about us being servants. You know what? He's into it. And I wanted to read to you. This is so good. You know, somebody, there's a lot of things in the world that you know what they are? They're doing something and it's good. But you know where it comes from? It's coming from the Word of God. Not that they're Christian, not that they're saying, hey, you know what, this is one of God's principles. They're not associated in any way with the Word of God, but it is God's truth and God's ways that they implement in their businesses and their lives and different things that make it very successful. And so there's a gentleman, and again, he doesn't say, oh, I'm about God, this is from the Lord, and the Lord taught me. No, he's got nothing to do with any of that. And but here's what he's famous for. He's famous for coming up in the business world with what's called being a servant leader. And let me read to you what he says here. The servant leader is servant first. It begins with a natural feeling that one wants to serve first. Robert K. Greenleaf of Servant Leadership, it's a philosophy and a set of practices that enriches the lives of individuals and builds better organizations and ultimately creates a more just and caring world. So this guy says he learned this from his father. He doesn't say he got it out of the Word of God. He says, I learned it from my father. And he ends up being hired at AT&T back in the day. That's like back in 1954. You know what? So he's hired at AT&T, But he notices that he's going to start implementing what he calls being a servant leader to really pull together in that business. He says Robert Greenleaf is the person who first articulated them for our time. Greenleaf was born in 1904. So this is back in the day, you know what, in the 50s when he was doing this. He ends up implementing this in his work to try and create a better environment among the people. Well, shocker, when you do what God says, it's going to be successful. And so it was very successful, and it brought a lot of attention to him because of what was happening in his department that he was initiating. Just as an employee there, he began to stand out. And then it says that he then got transferred to the AT&T headquarters because it was so successful what was happening in his department. He quickly rose in the AT&T organization, participating in the very first management training program. He ended up traveling for the next 5 years, going to all the different Ma Bell hubs and everything, all the ones that were associated with it. How did he do it? He put others first. He did number two. Think more highly of others than you do yourself. And he began to just implement that culture around him. And that, what did it say it is going to do? It creates an organization to become more healthy and more blah, 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 whatever I read the first time. That's what God wants for the church. That's why he tells us to be the greatest servant amongst them all. Go ahead and Google whatever program you have for servant in your Bible. It'll blow your mind. I wish I had thought to tell you how many times the word servant shows up in your Bible. God's into this. And he knows that if we'll catch this as his body, that we will become an incredibly healthy, successful body. Amen? And we'll be very, very effective here in Pico Rivera. Okay, that is going to conclude our service.